a real honor tonight to invite a young man out here who has been a combat warrior. He has been a soldier for not only our freedoms and for the freedoms of those in other parts of the world, but he is serving actively as a police officer. I cannot say enough about Josiah O'Neill. He was smart enough to marry Lindsay Yem, who worked at this church. And together, they have produced some pretty precious kids. But they love America, and they're sick of it. And he didn't fight in battles in the Middle East to come back to an America that has departed from its constitution. But it appears that that's what has happened. But he's wanting to fight, and he is fighting. And he's an extremely strong candidate. You'll find that out tonight. And he needs your prayers, and he needs your support, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Federal law doesn't allow me to financially campaign for a candidate. I don't have the rights that you do. But do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Great. So you guys give a warm welcome to Josiah O'Neill running for Congress in the 49th District. Look at that. That's great. You can be seated. So California's 49th District. A lot of you may be just thinking, why should I even get involved in the 49th? I live in some other district. Because the reason why, this is the viable candidate to defeat, is it Levin?
Levin.
We can call him Levin. That's fine.
The Democrat in the 49th's not a good idea. And for those that are in the 49th, and Josiah is going to tell you that region of the world, and you need to get a hold of friends, and you need to encourage, but you don't have to be in the 49th to support him for the 49th. So, Josiah, let it go, brother.
Thanks for having me. It's good
Absolutely.
To see you guys. Look, I was really excited about tonight because, besides the fact that I'm running for Congress, which is, you know, a whole other world, tonight's title, Jack and I agreed on, Faith in Action and Why Christians Need to Be Involved in Politics. It's a big deal, okay? So we're going to go through some things and have some open discussion and listen to what I'm saying. And remember, when we're done with this, you share this to as many people as you can.
Yes.
Forget the congressional campaign for a second, right? Let's talk about the church waking up and getting involved in the communities that we live in, okay? I am running for Congress, so that's important too. But so I have a loose framework of topics, and we're just going to go through it and see what comes out, because I know this is huge on Jack's heart. And let me just say that what Pastor Jack is doing in taking a stance to be involved in current affairs and what's going on in the world is unprecedented, and it needs to be happening in every single church across America, every single one. And we're going to go into a little bit why, but I'd like to talk about first what happens when the church does nothing. Mm. What happens to an apathetic church? The morality of godless government is non-existent. Can we throw the first slide up? I may not use every slide, but I just want to throw it up for reference so you guys can follow along and jot things down if you want, okay? Dennis Prager said, motives are much less important than behavior. In context, he was talking about leftism, socialism, and communism specifically. Now, why is that important? Why are motives less important than behavior? Because actions speak louder than words. Right?
Yep.
So the left is very emotional, and they appeal to people with no strong moral foundation, and they go after you with the motivation, but do we think that the means justify the end? In this case, it's the opposite. They have great motivation, or so they claim, and yet everything they do ends in total destruction and death and mass human suffering. That's the track record that they have. The truth, reality versus ideological secularism. This is what we're up against. Let's talk about, just in the 20th century alone, 100 million dead under communism.
Yep.
That's between 1800 and 1900. 1900 and 2000. Now, that's just communism. And if you add in fascism and all the other secularized ideologies. These are essentially people groups and governments who've said, forget God, we'll make the state God, and let's see what happens. And that's why motives are less important than behavior, because the result has been mass human suffering, death, genocide, starvation. This is what happens when people turn their back on the only thing that works. You see, God established government, not the world. And there's only one God, and it's not the state. And that's what made us so different. If you haven't read it, there's a great book, a guy named R.J. Rummel. You see him there on the bottom. Death by government. He coined this term democide, referring to genocide and government mass murder. Responsible, and that's the number I told you in total, not just communism, but fascism and every other group, from what happened in China under Mao to the Soviets, Marxism, the Bolsheviks, the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, altogether about 169,202,000 dead. So can someone please answer me, why in the world is this now becoming popular in America? Why is it that we see young kids all over the country wearing Che Guevara t-shirts?
Right.
You guys know who Che Guevara is?
Yep.
¿Hablan español? Los que hablan español o han venido de un país latinoamericano entienden más que muchos aquí en los Estados Unidos los peligros del izquierdismo. See, I grew up in Mexico and Ecuador. My parents were missionaries. And many of those places and where I grew up, especially in South America, leftism was very much propagated. In fact, when I was 14, I got shot in the shin during a riot with some rebels that came down from southern Colombia. That was just because I was in the wrong place. I shouldn't have been there. It's true. But I'm familiar with what happens, right? And growing up in that environment, I developed a deep appreciation for America, and what we did was so different. We did something really different. We are exempt. Throw up slide 2 for me. We're exempt only by grace.
Yeah.
Our founders recognized man's depravity, evident in most all founding documents in recorded American history. Even those who didn't openly follow Jesus or say they were Christians, they were deists, they recognized there was an inexorable tie between Western civilization and Christian Judeo values. In fact, Jack, I think you gave me the recommendation on the Churchill book. If you haven't read, there's a book called Churchill and God. It was written by Churchill's great-grandson, which explored Churchill's relationship to God and Christian Judeo values. And although he himself was not a practicing believer, he recognized, as he saw the evils of the Axis forces coming across the entire known world, coming out of Japan and the Empire through North Africa into Europe and out of Russia and eventually the Soviets, and Churchill recognized that the only thing that would stop the encroaching evil was the Christian Judeo values of Western civilization. It was in those values that guaranteed individual rights and things like free speech and the value for the life, not only of those of us who are here now in our lives, but of the unborn as well. You see, we cannot abandon the values that made us who we are, or we stand to lose everything. Let me tell you, we are no different than any of these other countries. If you think that you're exempt from places like Germany, let's think about that for a minute. In the early 1930s, Germany was going through a lot of turmoil. They were a fairly advanced society, amazing engineers, musicians, artists. How is it possible that in a short few years, they went from an advanced technological society to dumping wheelbarrows full of babies out of third-story windows?
Yeah.
And they ended up murdering millions upon millions of human beings, all in the name of secularism. You know that the SS officers upon graduation all received a copy of The Origin of Species. The foundation was get rid of God, and you've essentially gotten rid of the concept of individual liberty and values because you're just an animal. And if you came from nothing and nothing happens when you die, the only thing that matters is now the socialist state. And so it is quintessential to liberalism, leftism, progressivism, whatever name it wants to take on today, it is absolutely essential that they remove the influence of the church in the countries that they're affecting.
That's right.
Now that is really important to what we're going to talk about tonight. Because if you look around you, what is something that you've heard ever since you were a little kid? In regards to this context here. You don't talk about religion. And don't talk about politics.
All right.
How many of you have been told that? We've been told that in work. We've been told that in school. Well, let's just define, let's not allow the enemy to define us here for a minute. Let's clear something up. Religion is your set of values and beliefs by which you form your life and you pursue those things. So the atheist is no more less religious than the Christian. They are religiously devoted to their ideology, which is secularism. It is the deification of the state and government and the pursuit of self. As Aleister Crowley said, heavily influential in the Satanic Church, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Pride, the original sin. So, why is it that we as believers, writ broad across the country, have decided that we shouldn't be involved in politics? I'm going to give you some examples of what happens when we're not involved in politics, okay? Go to slide number 3 for me. Let's look at some local stuff here. In the year 2020, largest single year increase on record, according to the FBI. Those cops out there in the audience, you'll remember your UCRs, crime reporting statistics. More than 21,500 homicides were recorded in 2020 alone. Go to the next slide. Gun violence. This is just in San Diego County in the first 2 months.
Wow.
372 guns, C-77 ghost guns. Those are guns that are manufactured by gangsters who can't go into a store and buy them. They buy 80% or something and manufacture them. They're making them in hotel rooms. Just a few weeks before I took a leave of absence to run the campaign, I responded to a call in North County here in the district where I'm running of a man who pulled a gun on someone. Me and my partner show up. The victim's still in the parking lot, and he points back to this hotel room. I think it was room 126, and he says he's in there. And I said, well, how do you know it was a gun? You know, I'm thinking, yeah, we don't know if this guy's on drugs. Or he goes, well, I heard him rack it, and I saw the green laser on my chest. Mm. And he goes, I know what a gun looks like. Okay, so we surround, we set up a perimeter. We put guys on the back, and this is a motel room, by the way, where during COVID, government subsidies had put a lot of people up for long term. So there's families there. There's all kinds of people in these low-income motels all throughout cities that you live in. So we surround and we start a thing called call outs, and we're announcing the sheriff's department's out here, you better come out, et cetera, et cetera. And then we find out that there's kids inside. So now we're forced with this decision where we have an armed suspect who we then identified as a parolee, right? Because I'll get back to that. Soft on crime policies don't work, so stop voting for Democrats. It's an absolute waste of time.
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, I will.
As soon as we're done clapping. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Soft on crime policies do not work. It's an absolute lie. So stop voting for people that put those forward. So long story short, we decide we don't want to risk having to go in, guns up and whatnot. There's kids in there. And thankfully, this guy ends up opening the door and coming out. And actually, the story behind that is because his grandma showed up in the parking lot and started yelling at him.
Grandma.
On the speakerphone.
Grandma
in the car.
Can do it.
Yeah. I won't say his name, but I'll just give him we'll call him Bobby, cause, and she's on there going, Bobby, better come out of that motel room right now. He did. So we go inside and I find several children, a weapons manufacturing lab, a whole bunch of SBR, short barrel rifles, magazines, et cetera, et cetera. I'm all about guns. That's not the problem. The problem is this guy was a violent felon, a criminal who had been released multiple times, was on parole because the state of California thinks that it's the cops' fault that people commit crimes.
Right.
And so they let them out over and over again into your societies, and they do things like that. They come out of motel rooms and pull guns. Oh, and he was high on meth. The reason he didn't come out in the first place is because he stuffed all his meth in the bathroom. He tried to flush it, but it didn't work because he was high. So I pulled that out for him. A little gift. What happened to my slide? There it is. Check this out. Chief of Police of San Diego PD, David Nislate, said, never in 34 years has he seen something like this. There's this quote underneath. If you see something, please say something. I've never seen the proliferation of the number of guns on our streets and number of persons who have guns on them right now. That's what it's been reduced to in California. We're begging people to just help. Or like in L.A., don't wear jewelry.
Yeah.
Or like L.A. telling people, don't come here if you're on vacation. It's too dangerous. We can't do anything.
Right.
Two shootings a day on the freeways. Smash and grabs are out of control. Crime is out of control. Go to the next slide for me. Check this out. Drugs and fentanyl. over 800% increase in fentanyl overdoses between 2019 and 2022. It is the leading cause in the nation of people aged 18 to 45. That's Summer Steffen. She's the district attorney in San Diego. Nation's biggest gateway for fentanyl. I put AB 109 and Prop 47 up there because it's important, okay? Because tonight is all about Christians getting involved in politics. So what I'm trying to show you is that almost every bad thing that's happened in this state, every single one, and we're going to get into more, believe me, our children, our schools, education, pro-life issues, guns, crime, everything comes back to a bunch of people that we put into office.
That's right.
Or you did it one of two ways. You either voted them in directly or you put them in by omission. If you don't care to be involved in politics, you surrender to those who are. Okay? There's no escaping it. Everyone's involved. Everyone. AB 109, if you don't know what it was the mass release of inmates from prisons. It was an attempt to save money. It was a disaster. It did not save money. There was a 75% recidivism. That's a fancy word for saying 75% of the people that they let out were back in jail within 30 days. There were many victims out of that. And some of the same geniuses that came up with that idea then crafted a bill called Prop 47, which passed in 2014. Where prior to that, and some of you have heard me mention this before, the possession of hard narcotics like fentanyl, which are killing apparently the number one killer in the country now, that was a felony. So you caught a drug dealer selling fentanyl to kids at school or even possessing it, and he would go to prison where he'd have some time to think about his stupid choices. Prop 47 passed because California said, oh, you know what the problem is? You're just arresting too many people. So letting them out didn't work, so let's just not arrest them in the first place.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, narcotics is the catalyst for virtually all other crime to a degree. Your property crime, your shoplifting, your smash and grabs, your robberies, your home invasions, most of it has to do with drugs in one way or another. Oh, and by the way, it has to do with human trafficking, too.
That's right.
The lack of control on the southern border. Let me touch on that right here. If you notice, the district attorney mentioned that San Diego County's border at San Ysidro is the nation's biggest gateway. Let me break that down for you. The port of entry at San Ysidro is the largest land border crossing on planet Earth. More people cross that line than any other border in any country in the world. And 5 minutes across that southern border, you have the largest, most dangerous narco-terrorist cartels that have ever existed.
That's right.
Remember Pablo Escobar?
Yep.
He's a joke. Compared to the Sinaloas and the Felix Arellanos and Nuevo Generacion and many others, they are 10 times what Pablo Escobar was. Do you think that they're reaping the benefits of Democrats making decisions like Prop 47? Absolutely they are.
I love it.
Policies like that against drugs? Yes, please, the narco would say. Policies like, hey, let's not secure the border. This isn't about people. Look, the border is not just about people trying to immigrate here. There is a national security nexus. It's about public safety. It's about crime. It's about tons of fentanyl flowing across the border. And it's about human trafficking. Yeah, give me the next slide real quick. Listen to this quote, Alan Smith. We have seen repeatedly over and over again an uptick in human trafficking and our services required. He's talking about, this was like this week that this article came out. Mm. And it was in reference to this article here, East Bay Times, where nearly 500 human trafficking related arrests were made Super Bowl week. That's Villanueva, by the way, right there. He's doing a bang up job
now,
in Los Angeles.
Isn't the sheriff the one that said, don't plan on vacation in Southern California because we cannot keep you safe? Is he the one that said that?
I don't think he said it directly. I think it was the police union rep that said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're in agreement. I mean, that's true. Yeah, he's doing an incredible job. We're going to come back to him, by the way, because in a minute I'm going to get to Christians being involved and influential, and I'm going to talk about his number two guy, Tim Murakami, if you don't know him. Right-hand man to the sheriff of the largest sheriff's department in the world. He's a Christian, and God definitely placed him there.
Wow.
Okay, so let me bring it home real quick for you here. So, oh, sorry, next slide for me. I switched my own. Everyone's involved, period. I don't care if you research politics or if you care or if you vote. The horrible reality is that 50% of professing Christians in the United States don't even register to vote. If you didn't know, during the recall of Gavin Newsom, 79% of Republicans did not vote.
Yeah, can I mention something about
that?
Please. So during the recall efforts, you guys got to remember it was the most successful recall in American history. Okay, and much of the epicenter of that recall happened right here at this church. You guys were amazing. But to back up what Josiah is saying, this church, we can't do any more for you and for the state that we're announcing to those that view. We can't do any more. We've reduced it down to a QR code to make it as easy as possible. We have a staff here that researches faith and public policy and legislation in the state of California. It's all they do. And we mobilize other churches to do the same if they're willing. This is the big problem. For decades, I've been trying to get pastors to wake up to this issue, which as a believer comes down to this, that if we just study the Bible and that's all we do, that would make you a Pharisee. We've been commanded in Scripture to study the Bible and then go do it. But when 79% of a culture like that doesn't vote, we could have crushed, we would crush any election if we just showed up. Just the Christian community in California that professes Christianity. This state would flip around in one election. In one election, but we won't do it. We do not get involved because I don't know what it is. It's either pulpits that are compromised or it's either congregations that are asleep, apathy. But my question is, when are we going to wake up? It's not bad enough yet, right? It really is, but we don't think so. And maybe you won't get involved. I know that most of you are, but as a general statement, maybe you won't get involved until, God forbid, it happens at your doorstep. Then, but by then it might be too late. So this is we're not in a lab right now. This is not a class on theory. This is our reality. Because we've been too comfortable, too long, too lazy to get involved. And I would submit to you, we would submit to you tonight, that it is so bad that I personally believe that, for example, China understands that the gateway to America is California. And that when you follow certain politicians and their funding, look where their money's coming from in some areas. But look at the industry or the money that is behind the fentanyl invasion. Follow the money. It's very advantageous to China for fentanyl to flow into California and our southern borders. So if our elected officials are turning a blind eye to the influx of this killer drug, then what's going on? If somebody's in office in California right now, like I said on Sunday, if they're an incumbent, you have a better chance of just voting an incumbent out. You say, well, wait a minute, a good person could get thrown out. There's just a few. But if we voted fresh new people in like Josiah O'Neill, that would be different. We need to do that. Because I have grandkids, I have kids, and look, I'm going to go to heaven. But if Jesus doesn't come back, I've got grandchildren. And right now, the way the system is, our families are not safe. And when we have it the way that we have it, and we've got a vice president that wants to remove our guns from our homes, who's going to protect us? They're tying the arms of law enforcement, and then they're going to take away your guns. Do you know what that? Have you ever read history? That's exactly how all of these, these dictators, communists, took control of nations. And by the way, to back them up, you ought to read the book, How to Kill 11 Million People by Andy Andy Anderson? You ought to get the book, everybody. It's a little book. Little book. How to Kill 11 Million People by Andy Anderson. You got to read it. You got to read it. And it's socialism and communism, he shows you, in Germany. 11 million people. You think, no, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. He killed 6 million Jews, 1.5 million homosexuals, and the balance were those others who didn't agree with him. 11 million people. Oh man, religion has been the number one killer in world history. Oh no, that's a lie.
Not by far.
It's godlessness that has killed more people. Totalitarianism. So we need to be people of faith and do what Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10:6 says, and that is by us being obedient to God, we act righteously. And by acting righteously, to vote for what honors God, then evil is punished when That's we right. vote right.
Yep. You're 100% right. And along those lines, I would say that's why the answer from a believer or churches in America that says, well, we don't want to get involved in politics. You know what that really is? It's cowardice is what it is.
Right on. That's right.
It's refusing to live righteously as God has called you. Look, if you don't want to be a Christian, then don't say you are. Why waste your time? Right? Yeah. We're called to be salt and light,
which means
you have to put feet to your faith. I know I said this before, but it's worth reading again. Every decision made in a republic is made by individuals who you have placed there, either by direct vote or lack thereof. Our founders knew this. Benjamin Franklin said, and I'll just chop this up here. He was talking about ambition and avarice, the love of money and the love of power. And he said, not many more things more laudable than this are apt to be found in those on your side of the agreement as much as the opposing side. It takes a measure of humility to recognize that about your own political party.
That's right.
What does that all mean? It means that we have a large part of conservatives in the country that have forgotten why they're conservative. We've abandoned the biblical and Christian Judeo values and made it into some sort of like secular, like God, guns, and country type thing. But the foundation has been eroded, and so you're standing on this rickety framework. Then when the left comes along and they're radically idealist and they're dedicated to their leftism and their secularism, and they challenge the conservative without the ability to give a defense, mm-hmm. we as Christians know the word apologetics, then the whole argument crumbles.
Yeah.
Without the moral foundation and the understanding of how to apply your faith. You are called to be salt and light, okay? Now you have the church going woke. What do you think about men like Bonhoeffer would tell you today if he were here? What kind of warning would he give? How about Joseph Bondarenko, who we just had up here not too long ago, who I had a chance to ask him privately. If you don't know Bondarenko, KGB's Most Wanted is a book about his life. He spent over a decade in the gulag, primarily because he refused to deny his faith in front of the Soviet proletariat. And I got a chance to ask him just a few weeks ago, what would you do? What's one thing you would do if you could go back in a time machine? And he said, get your children, because we surrendered them to the Soviets. Have we not done the same thing here?
Yes.
Listen, the devil's the father of lies. He just disguises himself in different ways.
That's right.
I don't care if you call it liberalism or progressivism or whatever you call it. It's a complete and utter abandonment of the Christian Judeo values that made our country what it is in favor of a secular deity making the state the ultimate force of accountability. You know what the problem with that is? Our founders recognized that our rights were inalienable. They didn't come from men. They didn't come from the government. They came from God. And the government was there to protect them. Now, how does that loop you in? Christianity and politics, right? Let's bring it home. Direct vote or lack thereof. The founders knew that accountability was important. That's why we have the legislative and the judicial and the executive branch. But the often less talked about part is the political process. Is that we choose who goes to those places and makes decisions for us. Major decisions. Supreme Court decisions. Like in the 1860s, the decision to go to war. The Civil War, which had major implications like ending slavery, and so forth and so on. Speaking of that, let's look at some decisions that people have made here. Go to the next slide for me. 2223, we just talked about that one, infanticide. 1084, gender-neutral toy section. What in the world is... Do you have nothing better to do? How about you drill for oil out here and get our gas prices lower?
No joke.
Does anyone really care about gender-neutral toy aisle? Give me a break.
Wouldn't it be great to trade in 1084 for California?
Anything?
California will fill in all the potholes on the freeway. How about that one?
Yeah.
Okay, why that? Sorry, you're doing great.
No,
I'm interrupting, totally. You guys, AB 1084, do you have any doubt if the team that's in power has an agenda? Look at that. You need to know this because when you see the authors of these bills, you can look them up. You can watch them on YouTube. It's their personal life style that they go to public office to impose upon you, if you like it or not. When they are supposed to be listening to their base and then make decisions, not based upon their interest, but based upon those who elected them interest. There's no statesmen anymore, and there's almost no politicians anymore. There's indoctrination artists, or whatever you want to call them. But this is what's going on. Amazing. I'm sorry.
They're targeting. No, you're 100%
yeah,
right. They're targeting the very foundation that I just talked about because they know they never win arguments on common sense because they don't have any. I mean, let's be real, right? There's only two genders. Hello? Like, duh. They're not going to win that argument. So what they do is they go for emotions. They make you, you know, they think with their emotions. I mean, do we not know as believers that emotions are fleeting, that the heart of man is desperately wicked?
Yeah.
Should we rely on emotions to make every decision? Like, is that what you do when you go to the bank? You're like, well, how do you feel today? No. They know this, and so they're targeting the core foundations of what make us who they are. That's family. That's life. That's the sacredness of marriage and sexuality and so forth and so on. And so all of these, look SB 98... press anywhere to protest. Let me tell you why. That seems sort of innocuous, right? What's wrong with that? Okay, I had the wonderful experience of participating in the riots that were down in La Mesa last year. Okay, in fact, some other time we'll go into my whole unit got a commendation for it. But if you didn't know, there were massive riots all over the country, right? Where leftists went through and burned cities and murdered people and destroyed and pillaged and looted places. Last year, I was freshly back from the State Department. I had resigned my commission where I was working for Pompeo there at Diplomatic Security Service. Came back, joined the San Diego Sheriff's Department, and shortly after, I was working graveyards, which is just, you know, wonderful. And I got home at like, I don't know, what time did I get home? Where's Lindsay? That's my wife right there. Can you wave, everybody? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Lindsay, what time did I get home? I don't know, like 7 o'clock in the morning. I just went to bed. I laid down. I was asleep for like an hour, and my phone starts blowing up. I'm like, why? And it's my sergeant from my unit. I go, Sarge, why? I just went to sleep. He goes, I need you to get dressed and come back to work. I go, I'll be there, you know, tomorrow. He's like, no, I need you to come right now. All time off is canceled from this point forward. I'm like, what in the world? So I get dressed. I go back down there. There's tons of people there. Shifts that are not currently working that day are called in. And they go, okay, first wave. We're going to La Mesa, the city of La Mesa. The police department is being completely overrun. They only had a handful of officers on duty that day, and over 1,000 protesters, many of which were militia Antifa folks.
That's right.
Had stormed the joint city police headquarters there in La Mesa, and they had breached the walls, and they were lighting the building on fire. And there were secretaries and administrative folks inside who would have died. They would have burned to death. And basically, the cops down in La Mesa were just completely overwhelmed. They couldn't do anything. So they put this all call out for help. The sheriff's department responded as a larger agency, and about 40 of us went, you know, lights and sirens, 100 miles an hour down the 15 southbound. We got to Chula Vista, I think we staged. Mm. And all these other agencies had come together to sort of help La Mesa. But there was this massive crowd. And it was already very violent. They were throwing rocks. There was incendiary devices. And I remember this SWAT commander goes, he pulls us in and he's like, all right, guys, we have to get through the crowd in order to reach the La Mesa civilians and the police officers and give them a break because they've been almost 24 hours on this now. It just got worse and worse. So it was the first time I'd done something like that since Baghdad. Full gear, helmet. We got into cars, as many as we could. We managed to get through. Many of the windows in our cars were smashed out trying to get through. And basically we jumped out of the cars and went right into this line where the craziest political propaganda was playing out right in front of my eyes.
That's right.
You had protesters with nothing in their hands, you know, doing the whole, my hands are here. And you had people on the side filming with cameras. And then behind that line, you had Antifa with trash cans full of railroad rocks, incendiary devices, fire bombs. It's the first time I saw a car bomb outside of the Middle East. Two. That day. I went 24 hours that day straight without going to sleep. And by the time the sun went down, they literally blew up a fire truck like a car bomb. It exploded just off to my right. And I remember thinking, like, where am I? And then they burned Citibank to the ground. And the Vons and the Ralphs. Many businesses were looted. They raided pawn shops, gun stores. Half those people weren't even from La Mesa.
That's
just
right.
Decimated the city. So this bill, I know I got way off topic, okay? Press anywhere at protest. This is the Democrats saying that the cops should not be able to tell people they can move. The problem with that is there's all kinds of people that say they were press people, right? You had people with cameras. You had people, you know, crossing the line. This and another one that I'm going to get into is it's not a needed thing. So you kind of ask yourself, like, why is that even a thing? What they're doing is they're degrading the capability of law enforcement to do their job. That's really what it's about. Mm. And they do it one little piece at a time because each piece, you think, well, what's the big deal? Press should be able to go anywhere, right? Well, when you add that to SB 1464 using cops to enforce health orders,
wow,
you're making us an enemy of the state. You see how I put very dangerous there? Because it's very dangerous. The Democrats want to weaponize law enforcement agencies for two reasons. One, because they want them to go out and do their bidding, even though they hate us so much, and it's like, well, which is it, you know? And then two, because the greatest kickback during COVID and riots and all the stuff that they saw was from elected officials called sheriffs. The highest elected authority in the land for law enforcement, chosen by the people who put public safety first. Guys like Chad Bianco, yeah. Alex Villanueva, Sheriff Barnes in Orange County, and the list goes on and on. Those guys who you chose to lead in those positions were able to make a difference because in a republic, that's the right process. Duly elected, chosen by the people, go start a fight. And the left knows this, so they don't want you involved. They
That's
know
right.
that if the church gets involved, you will have a difference overnight. If every church in America changed the statistic of not voting and not getting involved, we would change California in 24 hours.
That's exactly correct.
AB 101 had to do with ethnic studies required for grads. I don't have time to go into that, but I want you to look at that yourself. Go to Real Impact, a great resource for bills and initiatives coming down. Go to Real Impact. .com, I think it is, right?
.us.
.us. Read up on that. That right there is essentially saying you can't graduate unless you go through an ethnic studies course designed by super left-wing progressives. So it's so broad, right? That's CRT. That's essentially causing more and more and more division and identity politics. They don't want us united. They don't want people to know that the Republican Party should and always has been the party of unity for everyone. I don't care if you're red, black, yellow, purple. It doesn't matter. We are the party of Americans who believe in freedom
Amen.
And independent liberty and values.
Amen.
So to stop us from being able to do that, they have to keep us all divided, right? Does anybody remember before Obama came around? Did we hear about any of this?
No.
No. No, all of a sudden everyone's racist again. It's like, forget the civil rights movement, right? The new Democrat Party is here. And I guess we were making too many inroads because they want everybody to hate each other again.
Right.
They want you to identify by a category that they have chosen that fits their divisive purpose. Instead of a young man thinking of himself as a husband, a father, a member of the community, an American, no, they want to break it down and be, oh, no, you're black, or you're Hispanic, or you're just a white, woke liberal. You don't have to let them define you. And we as Christians don't have to let the left define us either.
Yep,
we
right.
define who we are. And the acquiescence or the submitting to what the left has done in silencing us has caused great damage. Penalties for misinformation? Are you kidding me? What does that even mean? That's just communism.
I'll tell you what it means. Yeah. It means what they want it to mean when they want it to mean a certain thing. Yeah. That's what they'll do. They'll define it for their particular moment. I got to add one more thing and then keep going. America is too strong to defeat militarily. And the American citizenry, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the largest army on earth is the United States citizen. Did you know that? Over 550 million guns in America. Those are the legal ones. Those are the legal guns. We've got this. The American citizen is an army. And here's the thing. They want you disarmed. Think about other cultures in history. Propaganda, control the media. Look what's happening in Russia. The Russians are having to find out what's happening in Ukraine in spite of Pravda and the Russian news, because the Russian news has been spinning everything. Control that. But here's the killer. And we made mention, or I made mention of it in one of the services on Sunday, is go take a look at what Disney's doing to steal your child from you regarding your biblical worldview. And let me tell you, mom and dad, you're the authoritarian and you're the one that's giving them this and you're telling them this. And then a cute little cartoon comes along on their iPad and it's telling them something completely different. Who do you think they're going to go with? Indoctrination. So I believe the United States has been under attack for a long time. You can't drop a bomb on it because we would respond. So what do? You infiltrate in all the areas of control. And I think the proof evidence is, take a look at our schools, get the kids, and silence the church. Because throughout history, Hitler silenced the church, for example, by paying them. Hitler told the pastorates in Germany, I'm here to help you and we'll even pay you state wages. The pastors then began to be paid by Hitler. The church was compromised and the Holocaust ensued. Unbelievable. The pattern repeats. It works. It's being repeated in front of our eyes.
I have something to say to that.
Go for it.
And to pastors, if you're listening, wherever you are, listen to this, okay? It is better to be thrown into the ocean with a millstone around your neck than to have led one of these astray.
Said Jesus.
You're going to be held accountable as a believer that God put you in a country where you have free choice and liberty. You don't think the Christians in North Korea would get involved if they had a chance to choose not starving? Or the Chinese persecuted church, if they had a chance to elect officials freely in a republic to not be persecuted for their faith, or in Venezuela, or in all of these regimes of the past, you're given a gift of living in a country that was based on biblical values, and the church was intricately involved in everything, as Pastor Jack often presses. Why has the church given up and listened to that? Go to the next slide for me. You can read all those other ones. They're all garbage. Devastating impact of Christian apathy. That's what I'm talking about. People who you elect or conversely do not care to influence are radically changing your country. Do the last 2 years, are they not enough proof for you? COVID at schools with children was a nice little trial run to see how many parents would just sit back and do whatever the government told you.
That's right.
They don't really care about COVID or the mask. Believe me, Ocasio-Cortez... She gave it away early on when she, you know, tweeted out without, I guess, checking it with someone next to her first, that we had to keep the lockdowns in effect until the election. Yeah. Retweeted over 50,000 times and then deleted.
That's right.
She showed her cards. They over-politicized a pandemic for their ideological movement. As Kevin Kiley mentioned when we were here together, they just voted again on the 2-year anniversary of the state of emergency. Where's the state of emergency? The gas prices are a state of emergency.
That's not whether
I'm choking on a mask over my face. That's There's right. a reason behind it. And we have the ability to affect those decisions. The left is concerted in their effort to silence Christians because they know the impact that they will have. You know why? We have truth and history on our side. The left, for all their Ivy League education, they know very well the impact of Christian and the church's influence in the history of the United States. So like all other leftist regimes around the world, they have to work extra hard to revise history and change the image of our founding fathers into something of a narrative that fits what they're doing today. It's entirely a lie. And for those in the clergy, I want you to ask yourself, and I could change that to any Christian anywhere in this country, ask yourself this: whose voice would tell you to leave politics alone versus exercising your God-given right to participate?
That's right.
I said before, it's cowardice. When I hear of a church going woke and talking about basically aligning themselves with the spirit of this world, right?
That's right.
Christian, you should have a thing called discernment. It's something the world doesn't have, right? We know the truth, and so we recognize the enemy when we see it because we know the truth, right? His sheep hear his voice. So there's something wrong when the church starts acting like the world. For what?
That's right.
They're going to like you more? You think you're going to bring more people? I'd rather have a church of 2 real Christians than a church of 10,000 fake
Amen.
Ones. Go to the next slide for me. Approximately 50%, that's the number we're looking at, percent of religious, okay? If you look at Orange County, it's about 46.5% people that identify as religious. That includes others, Catholics and Mormons and non-denominational and Buddhist and etc. 51.8% in the Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim metro area, 45.8% overall in the state of California. And I had to throw San Diego in because it's part of my district, and 44.9%. Significant numbers. Mm-hmm. Significant. In the 49th district where I'm running, there's almost 1 million people that live there. But my voter universe is about 182,000.
Wow.
Nobody shows up to vote. So you got to work really hard and target those individuals and subsets of them, right? Imagine if we activated, and I put silenced with a D, because that's exactly what's happened. Imagine activating the silenced majority. It would lead to culture change.
Exactly correct.
Fast. It would be a revival.
So fast.
And speaking of Disney, corporations led by profit margins will alter their course. Can we give a shout out to Elon buying some Twitter
yes.
stock? Yes!
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, did you? I don't know if you saw the news, you know, because he now controls Twitter.
Good for him.
Did you? There's a mass exodus of certain employees. They said we can't work under him. We can't work
Goodbye.
For him. And so, you guys, there's job openings at Twitter right now.
Dump them. Daily Wire is putting $100 million over the next couple of years into children's media, cartoons, and show. Go buy a Daily Wire subscription.
Yep.
Forget it. Last slide, and then we can open it up a little more. How can Christians get involved? Number one, registering and voting. I know Jack does a great job here of that. I'm telling you right now, take a hard look at yourself and all the things you want to complain about on Instagram, and make sure that you're registered to vote and show up. June 7th is the primary. Show up to make an impact. The primary elections decide the 2 that advance towards the general. You need to vote on June 7th. You need to know who you're voting for. Don't look at the mailers and the propaganda. Dig a little deeper. Look into iVoter Guide. Talk to your pastor. If you go to a church that doesn't know about the candidates, don't go to that church.
Exactly. Again, if you're viewing us online right now, go to realimpact.us. You'll
Absolutely.
Get help in your county in the state of California.
Mm. I like these next two. Bold communication and taking a stand where it matters. That goes back to that old adage of don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics. The world does.
Yeah, they do.
I've been in several different government agencies now, from the Department of Defense to multiple law enforcement agencies, and believe me, it's a radical messaging constantly about progressive ideals. Ram it down into your brain every day.
Mm-hmm.
So do the same. Bold communication. Don't be afraid of the culture. Like I said, you're either going to be a Christian or you're not. Okay? If you don't want to live it, you don't want to speak openly about it, don't waste your time. Go be a hermit or whatever it is. Take a stand when it matters. Live the values you claim to adhere to. Relational evangelism. This is huge right here. Many of you work in places amongst people that will never go to church. They don't care to. But you're there.
That's right.
That's the word Christian. You're supposed to be a little Christ. Be an example where you are. And I'm not saying you have to be, maybe you don't have, you know, you don't have to be a televangelist, okay? Just be a good person. Work hard. Do well. Have honor and value and be proud of the work that you do and show other people that Christians are the representatives of that character. And eventually the world will come and notice. In my world that I've spent the last 20 years in, especially in the military, that's one of the biggest witnesses that you can have. I talked one time with a young guy who was leaving the Bible college down in Marietta, and he was going into the military. Or he did join, and then he was calling me because he was having a hard time. And he was like, you know, I really feel like the Lord is calling me to leave. This poor guy. And I was like, oh yeah, really? I go, I guarantee he's not. He's like, no, I really feel like I should be in the ministry. I go, you are in the ministry.
That's right.
You made a promise. Let your yes be your yes. You signed a contract. You need to finish your time.
That's right.
And while you're there, be the best soldier, be the best Marine, be the best airman, be the best Coast Guard person that you can be.
Yep.
That's the best way to show people who you really are.
Yep, that's right.
And that goes out tenfold towards everybody. I don't care if you're a baker, if you work in construction, if you work in communication or tech, live your values and impact the world around you. That is what the world calls politics, by the way, guys. That's why they don't want the church involved in it. Politics for the world is living their values out. It's spreading their ideology everywhere they go. So what are we doing? We listen to them when they told us to close our mouths and not have an impact? Absolutely not. Lastly, supporting the right candidates and hold your own party accountable. This is near and dear to me, guys. Let me tell you something here.
Yes.
A guy once talked about the swamp a lot. And I've learned a little more about that, not very much, but just recently in my campaign here for Congress. That we have to change the current model. Everybody listening online, listen to this too, it's important. We have to change the current model of electing or putting forth candidates to represent us on the basis of how much money they have. Right. It's not lost on me you need money to run a campaign. It's true. You absolutely need it. It's just a fact of life. You need to pay for your name to get out there. You need mail. You need advertising. You need all kinds of things that you have to pay for. It's not free. And Southern California is an expensive place to run a campaign. And I'm not saying that we don't need that, but how about we reverse it? How about instead of asking people how much money they have first, we say, what is the content of your character? What do you believe in? What are your values?
That's right.
What are you going to do for us? That's why you don't see a lot of middle-class, blue-collar people running for office. It costs a lot of money. It's easier to self-fund yourself and push your way to the top. And if the first checkbox is how much money you have, well, that's who you get. Ambition and avarice.
That's
the love of money and the love of power, the love of title, fill in the blank, whatever it is. Let me just ask you this, okay? You can have all these candidates say the best things they ever want to, you know, great statistics and all this stuff, but proof is in the pudding. If you live in California, what have they done for you in the last 50 years?
Either party, right?
Either party. Is it getting worse or is it getting better?
Right. One party we know for sure. They've been in power forever, and you're living it. But exactly what he said a moment ago. What's going to happen in this state for good? You guys, we together are going to have to decide to just simply vote for the person that is going to most represent a Judeo-Christian worldview. You say, yeah, but Pastor, what if I've got four candidates to pick from, and only two of them have a biblical worldview, and it's not even, one guy's got three scores on that one, and one guy's got two. Vote for the guy that's got three. If you're waiting for somebody to show up that can walk on water, it's not going to happen. You vote for the best person. You don't sit it out because you're so righteous that you can't taint yourself by voting for this or that. But do understand this, that we both passionately feel, we feel, because we know it, you feel, because you experience it, that the Republican Party in California, you have no idea how much they fight to keep good candidates from getting on the ballot. They want candidates that they can control. And character means nothing. And if you think I'm making this up, ask yourself this. What candidates have the Republican Party produced in this state for you to vote for? If you're going to say, oh, Josiah O'Neill, no. In the recall, Larry Elder, oh, no. The Republican Party could not endorse, apparently, they couldn't endorse a black man. They couldn't endorse a conservative. They wouldn't. The Republican Party status quo as is has got to go. The Democrat Party has got to go. And that can only happen by people who care about their community. Your city, your county, your district where you live. You've got to make the choice for your children and for this nation. Listen, a lot of people dodge what I'm about to say. It's pathetic. We have been so beaten down that people don't want to say that they're Americans because they don't understand what it means to be an American. To be an American is to understand that it is a choice you make. It's not a DNA in your bloodline. Okay? If you're German, you're German. If you're Dutch, you're Dutch. But in this land, you become an American. Patrick Henry said, as of this moment, I'm no longer a Virginian. I'm American. Why? Because it's a choice that a person makes to embrace the Constitution of the United States. And one party claims to believe in it. I have my doubts. The other party, they want to destroy it. And they're doing a pretty good job at it. Now, you may be offended tonight because you happen to have been born into the wrong team on this. And you say, well, I'm a Democrat because I have to, my dad was, my grandpa was, my... Listen, that's very sad. You should have a mind that you use and find out why and how the Democrat Party has dealt with, for example, abortion. The number one baby-killing party in the nation. And you're going to say you're a Christian and a Democrat. That's an impossibility. The other thing is this. Go look at history. Look who kept black people enslaved. Republican Party? Or Democrat Party?
Democrats.
You need to find out the answer to that. You'll be quite shocked. Okay? So we need to wake up. We've been lied to, duped, because we've allowed it. And we've got to stop. We've got to stand for truth.
That's still going on today. Don't get it twisted. Believe me. The Democrats have done absolutely nothing for minorities in the United States. Nothing. I grew up in Mexico and Ecuador. I didn't know anything about race or didn't care until I came here. And I realized that the Democrats were preaching division at every possible opportunity because they want votes. The victims of most of the crime statistics that I've given you are Latinos and blacks. They've done nothing. We stand as the party united, brothers and sisters, hand in hand, black, white, Latino, it doesn't matter. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We are the party of religious freedom, of free speech, of all the amendments. We are the party of unity, period. We have allowed the Democrats to define us. And it's all based on a lie for the purpose of getting more votes. Do you think, listen, Benjamin Franklin said that dependence breeds subservience. What have the Democrats done in minority communities across this country? Have they focused on fathers in the homes and education and jobs? Lowest unemployment rate in history is under Trump, last I checked. Something to be said for that. It was an ideology that said, let's get people to work. Let's teach people accountability. Let's help our brothers and sisters up off the ground. Or we can go on and on about how we should hate each other. That's what it's come down to. Listen, the whole point of this is Christians being involved in politics. So I wanna wrap on this, and then we can just open if you want. Parable of the talents, okay? Remember how I said you were born into a country with the ability to choose. We're the freest society to have ever existed in human history. No doubt. It is our values that conquered slavery. We conquered racism. We conquered previous secular ideologies that led to the greatest human atrocities. It was our Christian Judeo values that did that and nothing else. We overcame and conquered because we put our faith in God's way of doing government. But I do view our ability to vote and be engaged in civics as a talent that God has given us. And if you don't know, there's a parable of the talents, right? In Matthew chapter 25. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically the master gives a bunch of talents to his servants. Some he gives more than others, and then he goes away for a long time. To those who invested the talents and did well with it, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much." But then there was this guy, okay? He also had received one talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him and said, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. Cast the worthless servant," verse 30, "into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you've been outside of the United States, if you've been in combat, if you've been in war, or if you maybe grew up in a foreign country, in a third world country, if you've seen the depravity, you might take that a little more seriously. We are wealthier than probably over 90% of the rest of the world. We've been greatly blessed. And in the past, we've used that appropriately. Mm-hmm. We set countries free and didn't conquer. We left. We gave it back to them. We've died on foreign soils in the advancement of liberty. When a tsunami hits Indonesia, we send billions in aid and ships. That's our past. But it's in danger of collapsing. We're in danger of losing all of that under this reset, this globalist progressive mm-hmm. perspective. But let me just talk to you as Christians for a second, because that's the whole point of tonight. Anybody who doubted, and I hope this is set it straight here tonight. Anybody who doubted that Christians should be involved in politics, let's just forget the word politics, okay? Should be involved in living your faith.
Yeah, exactly.
There should be no question you need to be involved, or you have no room to complain about the state of this state or the country. Because we choose who goes there, guys, whether you vote or you don't. Mm. You still have an impact. So get involved.
Yeah,
get
amen.
Involved.
Amen. Awesome. You guys, time's a little short, but listen, if you've got kids, you can go get them, but maybe a few moments of Q&A. But before we do that, is there a microphone somewhere, guys? You got something? Maybe we'll take one or two questions, if you could keep it really brief. So get ready, because we'll have that coming. And by the way, before you do leave, listen, here's the big point of the big point. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. To believe in him is eternal life. He doesn't want you to join a church. He wants you to follow him. And if you forget everything tonight, know this, that God loves you and that he wants to forgive and he wants to set free. And so that is the greatest news that your soul could ever hear, is that no matter what you've done in life, Jesus is standing ready and willing to give you the life that he created you for. He wants you to hand over the keys that you've had. You've been driving around the block like a two-year-old in a pickup truck all your life. And he says, "Okay, now let me take control." And he did that for you and I because we can't save ourselves. Simple as that. So real quick, because of time, yep. No preaching, no declarations, questions.
Real quick, first off, God bless you. My brother in blue, my brother in green. Good evening, Pastor Jack. So, because of things like the Posse Comitatus Act that was passed in 1878 to prevent and restrict federalized military from enforcing and regulating politicians' beliefs on the American people, I'm curious what kind of a bill that you may be trying to draft at the federal level to curtail and curb something like Senate Bill 1464 to prevent law enforcement officers like ourselves from being forced at the hand of a political party to drive home their agenda? Because clearly there's litmus tests taking place in law enforcement agencies like major metropolitan municipalities like LAPD, right?
Yep.
Where 3,200 of us are looking at being fired because we refuse to take a shot. That's been proven to be ineffective. City Council's voted that we need to take that shot or risk getting fired, regardless of our Christian exemptions or our religious exemptions. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of what? A backdoor defunding of the police to fill those slots with yes men and yes women that they can later use for things like Senate Bill 1464, sure. In my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first off, we have an advantage because we have the Constitution on our side. And socialism is not compatible with the U.S. Constitution.
Impossible.
They pass these legislative attempts through, and they basically get through because no one's paying attention. So it's not so much that you have to draft a counter bill. You just have to show them the Constitution. You have to oppose it. And the way we oppose it is exactly what we're talking about.
That's right.
Go to Real Impact, sign initiatives, get involved, tell them no. It's effective when people do respond. We do shut stuff down like that. And a lot of what happens in California about stuff like that that's clearly unconstitutional, by the time it trickles to the Supreme Court, it does get struck down. But the more progressive we become, the more in danger we are of losing those. So adamantly oppose it. Me in Congress would be a – Congress is a platform. It's not just a representation of the 49th District where I'm running, but it's a mouthpiece for the entire country.
That's right.
Because the whole country listens to California. See, I think there are millions of conservatives in California. They just don't have a voice. So we want to give a voice to the voiceless, and that's how you counteract that.
Also this, I want to encourage you. What was the bill, you guys, that we actually defeated by calling the author's office? It was against police officers' conscience and convictions. Remember recently? Anybody remember that AB? 2329? Whatever it was, nobody knows.
That's because it's dead.
You guys, it died. Your noise in Sacramento, the author pulled the bill because their fellow Democrats said, listen, we're getting too many calls. You got to pull your bill. And that protected our police officers. So time real quick. Next question.
Okay, thought long and hard on this. First of all, I've voted since I was 18, never given up that right.
Awesome.
Okay. Second, as an educator, I want to know what we're doing, what bills are going forward to get parents involved in the education system with regards to what's being taught our kids. Specifically, props to the governor in Florida, sex.
Absolutely.
Ed, why is that even taught in our schools? That is a personal issue. That is a family issue. That's where it stops. I want to know why parents aren't involved. After 30 years of education, I have barely seen any parents ever involved with their kids. I love the Lord. I love my kids. How are we going to empower parents? And I don't care if you're private school, public school, homeschool. I don't care what you do.
I got to be honest with you. Everything you're saying is it aligns with the same reason that we have political problems. It's because people just haven't been involved. We haven't cared. So we need Christians to stand up and run for school board. We need people to run against the unions. We need people to make up, stand up and make some noise. I'm actually partial to public exit. I think we need to step out. And when the school system fixes itself, maybe we can talk about coming back. But as believers, we need to step out. And educators like yourself have an opportunity to come on over and teach our kids some classical American education.
Yep. You guys.
Go ahead. You got one more thing? Yeah.
Okay. So, great.
Uh-huh.
We taught our kids a Christian worldview. We also taught our kids, go make disciples. Go love people for Christ. You can't do that at home. You got a public school to win over. You teach your kids. Parents, how many know what a Christian worldview is and how that applies?
Yep.
Well, we were involved all the way through. And I was tired, and my wife was tired, but we did our job. And now I got a grandbaby, and guess what? I'm standing up for the grandbaby.
That'll do it.
Absolutely.
You guys, we're going to have to wrap this up, but I got to tell you what he just said. The reason why the school system, I actually... there is a gathering, I forget the name of it, if you guys know, it's California State educators, and they have a retreat in Palm Springs either every year or every other year, and whatever it's called, somebody went there, and then they leaked to me the information of what was going on. Major LGBTQ indoctrination being laid upon the teachers on that, it's not that you're going to think about it, you will be doing it. And at this gathering, they said this. They said, we're the ones. Now look, let's take them at their word. They said, we're the ones that have to be doing this sex education to the kids because the parents are not doing it. The kids need us. Now, we disagree with them and we disagree with what they're doing, but they believe that there's no parental involvement really in the child's life, that they are pretty much taking your place. And so when you go to a school and you're not allowed, by the way, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something that is 100% illegal. And in fact, you actually can either sue the school or the city, or you can get a hold of an attorney. But did you know as a parent that you have the right to know and demand what your child is being taught? But there are school campuses that have signs out in front of the school that say things like this: no access beyond this point without, not an appointment, but without
permission
granted previously. It may even be happening in local schools here. You need to look for this sign. Did you know that's illegal? You don't know that. And they know you don't know that. So that they don't want you in the school. They don't want you to find out. I am all for cameras in public school classrooms. You guys, listen, we got to go. We got babies that need mommies and daddies. Let's all stand. Father, we pray, Lord, for Josiah and California's 49th district, from San Diego, I think, up to Laguna. What is it?
Dana Point.
Huh?
Dana Point.
Father, we pray, and inland. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you would just cause him to have favor and victory. And Lord, this is a David and Goliath event. And we pray, Lord, that you would show up and down the state of California, but that you might start on election night by shaking up the 49th. But Father God, we pray that you would cause righteousness to sweep our land again. And Lord, that maybe it was COVID last 2 years ago that shook things up. Well, Lord, may the next shaking be a great division between, Lord, those that love righteousness and those that don't. Lord, prepare your bride, your church. God, let us not come to one more Bible study unless we intend to do something with it with our feet. But God, we pray. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you, Father, for your resurrection and gift of eternal life. And Lord, your Bible tells us that when the wicked rule, the people groan, but when the righteous are empowered, the people rejoice. And we ask you to install our brother according to thy will in the 49th district in California. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's end with this song, church. God bless you.